Local Salisbury historian Linda Dwyer, who recently passed away, also recognized the dark side of her town. This is Don Rush. There were three lynchings in Salisbury, but it was that of Matthew Williams in 1931 that has haunted the town's past. During a 2014 interview with the Marva Public Radio, she tells of Howard Purnell, a black man, who that day found himself trying to avoid the lynch mob in downtown Salisbury.
He heard, you know, his classmate being strung up several times, and he rushed down Church Street to get home. When he got to his parents' home, his father was upstairs at the window with a shotgun to watch what's going on, because you never knew during a lynching what might happen to the other people. And he could witness the body being burned, because it was the body was dragged from the courthouse down Main Street to right in front of the Georgetown, Cuba neighborhood, for that purpose of showing them the burning of the body. And he was burned right where the parking lot is now, where the flea market happens every weekend.
But, she noted, there was not only the immediate fear of the lynching, but also its aftermath.
And it was terrorizing afterwards, because Georgetown was so interlocked with downtown. Whites and blacks crossed each other in the street to go to church, go to business every day. And those people had to go into the homes in Newtown to work for those white families and look each other in the eye.
James Yamakawa worked with her on the Lynching Memorial Task Force that was formed in Salisbury.
Not just lynchings, we're talking like riots and massacres and near lynchings and all that. It's showing the expansiveness of it. People think about things as being an isolated incident, when in fact it was a much more widespread occurrence and also kind of baked into the fabric of culture.
She also brought to light some of the history of Frederick Douglass on the Eastern Shore, including his visit to Salisbury after the Civil War. And Bassett with the Salisbury Independent took a walk to imagine what it was like for Douglass as he arrived in Salisbury.
But she wrote a little thing about imagining him coming into town on the train and walking from the old train station there in central, North Central Salisbury to the courthouse, what he would have passed, what he would have seen, what the town would have looked like then, being celebrated and with accolades, people in their porches welcoming him to town. And I never thought of it in that way.
John Muller, a Washington, D.C.-based researcher, worked with her on exploring Douglass's legacy. What struck him about her was how she saw the purpose of her work.
And she was very benevolent and giving with her research in terms of, you know, supporting local communities. And she was like an activist historian. She probably wouldn't maybe call herself an activist, but she was an activist in terms of her history was used to really, you know, empower the man and woman and families, you know, within the community.
But empowerment of those less fortunate also meant sensitivity as well, especially for those who told of the region's difficult past. Dr. Cynthia Bird, executive director of the Julia A. Purnell Museum in Snow Hill.
She, I think, had a lot of compassion for other people who might have challenges, whether they were physical challenges, mental challenges, or economic challenges. So I think that spoke to her personally, that compassion and just feeling of connection to other people.
On her Facebook page, she had these words for those she left behind. I'm wishing everyone I've known all the best. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Media.